Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back live on March 3/16 day. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Wither Book, the King of King himself, the man who's about to drink in 3 bottles of Corona right now with a shot of virus, vodka. I am the one, the only, the Hot Rod. And I have the man who tried to debate with the 2 presidential candidates last night, but failed to reach over there. He is the one, the only, Trump number one supporter. Wow, that's a good introduction I gave you today.
Right, yeah. When I watch you burst into flames after you finish saying that one. Sean Black in the building once again. Good grief. What has happened? What has been going on in this planet?
I don't know. But before we get into that, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number is 347.
I didn't realize that was a number.
Yes. 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. All right, Sean, this is a serious, stupid question. It's stupid. I know the answer to it. But last year, or sometimes, I will tell you, Sean Black, I think coffin or sneezing will be used as a weapon in the future, or toilet paper, hand sanitizers, Clorox wipes will be good as money in the year 2020. Will you believe me or call me crazy? What would be your gut reaction to that?
Well, I call you crazy anyway, but yeah, you would have been looked at as crazy. Yeah, that definitely would have been the response. Yeah, that was absolutely crazy.
And now, in 2020, where we're supposed to have flying cars or, you know, times like the Jetsons, instead we're having mayhem, chaos, fights, Royal Rumbles or wrestling events, whatever you want to call it, street fighters, over products, over fear. It is pure mayhem. This week, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Black and I, well, it was me that called Sean, almost every day this past whole week, telling each other stories of the craziness that has been happening since this coronavirus outbreak has been looming. And we discussed last week how Mr. Trump was like, you know, this is not that serious, blah, 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 it's under control. I know Sean Black have a lot to say about this, and I have something to say about the mayor of New York City in a minute. Sean Black, what was your mind about Trump and his latest reactions overall? Remember, we have 54 minutes left of the show.
I understand. I do it in two parts. The first part is to take out the personal feeling of what Trump has said and done and try to look at it from an objective point. Is he doing what he's supposed to do as a president? Is he being presidential enough and actually being the leader that he was elected to be? And of course, I think the other side, which is the personal part, which is what could have been done differently had he taken a lot of this seriously. I have to combine both of those.
In the beginning.
Yes.
You took it seriously in the beginning.
I had to try and take him seriously. Notice, I said I try. I split it into two different ways.
He did sound a little bit serious last week. Last week, Wednesday he made the speech. We did a show Thursday. He did sound serious at first, right? While he was reading his speech.
That's the reason why he sounded serious, because you got to remember, there are 2 President Trumps. The one that sits in front of the telestrator and reads what's prepared for him, and then there's the one that goes off the script and gives you his true feelings about a certain topic and interjects at certain places here or there. usually to his detriment, because a lot of times he'll put his foot or both feet in his mouth because of the ignorance that he spews. But in this particular time, and we've lived long enough on this planet to see a lot of disasters happen, illnesses, sicknesses. We've lived through 9/11. We've gone through these kinds of things. And the one thing that you always look to, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or Republican, is that when a crisis happens, you're supposed to look toward the president for that calming reassertion, to reassure everybody that things are going in the right place, that he's going to lead us to a certain position. I don't believe, and apparently neither does the stock market, neither does anybody else, have an idea what's going on, because this particular president has lied so often about so many things so many different times. And then when we're looking at him to give us the true phasing of what needs to be done, where people need to go for a hospitalization, what is the plan on working on this, on a vaccine, where all of these things that have happened have absolutely fallen the hell apart because this president, as I've said before, has lied so many times. And I think a lot of people, like I said, in Wall Street, as we saw today, the stock market dropped 3,000 points. Biggest dip in the history of the stock market. Worst drop since Black Monday, which was back in October of 87, which was all 87. Over this. The thing that you have to go about and look at is how is the president handling this stuff? And as I spoke about last Thursday and what we talked about again the previous Monday, was that he is going at it from the economic standpoint, from what's happening to the market, what's happening to the investors, as opposed to the human element in there. When you start hearing about just last week, we only had 500 cases. Remember last Monday when we started talking about this, there were only 500 reported cases of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
As of today, we're at 4,400 plus cases with 81 reported dead so far. There were only, I believe, 7 when we talked about this last week, Monday.
7 in New York.
So think about that.
I believe. Or 8. It probably jumped to 8 now. I think there was another.
Exactly.
Death,
but we're nationwide.
Still,
we're at 81 dead.
81 dead. But believe it or not, I know this doesn't sound like an oxymoron. The numbers is bad, but it's not too bad. It could be worse, or it might get worse. That's the scarier part.
There's no might. There will get worse.
Will.
The reason why that is, we just don't have enough tests. What is going to eventually happen is that as we start testing people, you're going to start seeing a lot of people that previously weren't tested are either going to have it, have maybe symptoms, or maybe are asymptomatic, don't show symptoms, but have passed it on. And then as we go to those tests, you're going to start to see those numbers go up.
But that's the crazy part. You don't mention the symptoms, because Donovan Mitchell, the Utah Jazz player, had no symptoms or showed no symptoms about it. And there's a lot of cases of that. And I think to me that's the scariest part, that you and I could carry the coronavirus right now without even knowing it, because you didn't see no symptoms at all. Or, well, you know what? You cough, but you, like, for me, I'm congested, so I cough, my mucus out. You know, Sean, you could pass it on to 20 other people and not even know about it because, you know, you don't feel okay. You have the mild case. But the only thing that's, like, very scary that you don't know if you're carrying the virus or not.
Yeah. And that's the crazy part. I want you to think about this as a sobering number. There are roughly 6,000 hospitals in the United States, just throughout the entire country. And there are only 450 ICU beds. Those are for people that need to be in ICU as far as that goes. 3,000 of these ICU beds are going to be needed throughout the rest of the country as far as getting people there. You're going to have a lot of people that need these beds, and there just aren't enough. Think about it.
Well, that's the problem that the government has. Well, outside of the government has tried to address that already, but it seems like Trump is, like I said earlier, Trump is not giving a damn about it, and it cracks me up how Trump supporters defend this guy to the God. And I described earlier that he's giving two different types of mixed signals, how he said it out reading from the paper for the U.S. press conference, like, you know what, it's all about the stock market. I'm like, he's a businessman. So, of course, all he cares about the money. But to my Trump supporters that defend him like God, in my eyes, I'm listening to him at a press conference. He doesn't care about the people or the American people overall. Yeah? I could be wrong. And I know Sean Black will probably back me. I'm like, he's not wrong. Trump does not care about the people. But it's like, okay, there's a reason why they pick you. Yes, we want money, but at the same time, we need leadership. You, in New York, in your press conference last week, you saying, let's set our differences aside and work on against, you know, solving this problem. Let's unite this country. Then you tell them the governor of New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey, go screw yourself, go figure out your problem yourself and get your own supplies. I'm very confused by that alone. I mean, that's because you have beef with Governor Cuomo and maybe the other states. New York is basically your homeland, and you're just telling the New Yorkers to screw it, figure it out, solve your own problems?
You have to remember, President Trump is very vindictive when it comes to political enemies. I give you a perfect example. Do you remember Jeff Sessions? His used to work under him.
Yes.
I believe he in the administration. Yeah. And what happened is that, if you recall, during the impeachment, the Russia investigation, Jeff Sessions recused himself from being in that investigation to help Trump because of it was a conflict of interest. So he recused himself from the Russia investigation. And as you recall, President Trump basically rode him the entire time until eventually Sessions was fired or quit, whichever explanation you want. Sessions is now running for Senate in his state. I believe it's in Alabama. I'm not sure. I don't remember which state it is, but I know he's running for Senate. And he's still dumping on him even to this day. So that's the kind of person Trump is when it comes
to his
enemies.
He's still dumping on Obama, even about this. Obama has nothing to do with
it. He actually tried to blame the previous administration. That's his way of saying it. The previous administration for why we have the coronavirus now. But as I brought up before, the reason why we don't have the preparedness that we've had before is that in 2018, to pay for these tax cuts that President Trump approved, they had to be paid for somehow. What did he do? He slashed a whole bunch of funds, and a lot of them came from the CDC, from infectious diseases. There was a crisis commission that was in place that he basically cut and got rid of. So this is one of the reasons why we're in the situation we're in now. But now, before we even can just keep dumping on the president, it's now figuring out what are we going to do going forward, because we kind of know where all of this is coming from. People are trying to rely on the president and the administration for what we should be doing going forward, but they can't get a straight answer because everybody's going through this check. Well, the president said one thing, and then Vice President Pence said something else. And then the head of infectious diseases is trying to tell the both of them that they're wrong, that they need to be following this. There isn't a streamlined a string of information to go and check and cross-check, because everybody's butting heads and we're getting misinformation now. And this is what's been going on. This is one of the reasons why we have all of the chaos that we have in the streets, people going shopping and buying up toilet paper and doing all kinds of craziness, which doesn't make any sense.
And talk about the mayhem and chaos. There's so many stories. Like I said, Sean and I, we talk to each other over the phone every day. his talk about his stories. And like I said before, Lady T was right. We should take it seriously, which I am now. I am taking this more seriously. I'm being more cautious. You know, but I'm not into the panic zone. I refuse because panic, being in a panic zone doesn't solve anything. It just causes more panic. But I observe things a lot. It's like, I see people wearing gloves. They're wearing the gas mask. Okay, cool. But Sean Black, what is the point of you putting on gloves, right? Touching the subway poles, touching this, touching the doors, but you're still touching your phone with the gloves, fixing your hair with the gloves, blowing your nose with the gloves. Basically, what is the point of protecting yourself if you do the same thing with the gloves? The whole point of wearing gloves is not to touch stuff that, you know, cannot disinfect right away, right? And also,
yes,
when I called Sean Black over the weekend, it was like we're being reminded all the time to wash our hands, cover your cough, cover your sneeze. And I guess people just cannot get out of the habit of things, because while I was sitting down eating breakfast, of course, I sanitized my hands. My hands are so ashy right now. I'm carrying a bottle of lotion, too, because
yes,
we wash our hands like every 2 minutes right now, and that's how crazy it is. But I'm sitting down with my children, eating having breakfast, and like I told Sean, I saw this old man start sneezing. I mean, he coughed into his mouth, into his hand. I'm like, ew. Then he was reading a newspaper, and he still coughed it out loud, leave the newspaper on the counter, and walk away. So, you know, there's germs on the counter, germs on the newspaper, and there's probably germs on the air because he's reading that cough his mouth. Then there was another person playing, you know, with a teenager, bouncing his basketball. You're bouncing the basketball to the ground, especially in New York City. It's guaranteed to pick up germs and dirt. He's playing with that, enter the place, order his food, use a napkin, blow his nose, left the napkin on the counter, eating his food, without washing his hands, and left. And the cleanup guy came over, picked up the same dirty napkin, all boogers on it, and everything else, and threw in the garbage, and probably used the same hand and wanted to make more food in the back. So like I told Sean, but within 10 minutes, I saw so many coronavirus transmitting, it is not even a joke. And
yes,
people don't even realize that, you know. It's like, once again, you're wearing gloves one way, but you're not covering your mouth, you know, or vice versa.
And it's funny that you mentioned that. I'll give you the flip side, as I told you about this story over the weekend. I had a delivery from Amazon that I was able to pick up. The guy comes and drops. So usually most people realize if you get something from Amazon, they usually have somebody text you on your phone. We have a package. Do you want us to come to the front door? Do you want us to leave the package, et cetera? So I come to the door, pick up the package, bring it back inside. He has another delivery just right across the street from us. So he goes further down the block, goes across. There's a woman that got her package. The guy drops the package off. She gets a little, I guess it was a box cutter to open up the box, opens the box. She goes back inside the vestibule of her house, grabs a can of Lysol, sprays the outside of the box, sprays the inside of the box, then closes the door. This is the paranoia that we're dealing with here. Now, there are some issues where you hear people talk about, well, how long do germs last on certain surfaces and that kind of thing. So I guess it's one of those things that you have to actually think about going forward. But this is the level of paranoia that we've actually had to deal with. You know, so I actually did a little bit of digging, and this is what I found out. The germs can live, as far as like if you sneeze, they can live in the air for about 3 hours. If the germs are on, let's say, copper, you know, like a copper cup or copper tin or et cetera, that's 4 hours. Cardboard, 24 hours. So I guess her spring,
she may have a point.
Yeah. Plastic, it can live up to 3 days. stainless steel can live up to 3 days, you know, and this is mostly for people that are wondering about, you know, elevator doors and that kind of thing. But see, if you are diligent about certain things, because everybody's got hand sanitizer, everybody's walking around as far as that goes, as long as you wash your hands after you touch something, or you know you've been around outside the house and you've been around other people, as long as you do a thorough job of washing your hands, don't touch your face, keep your fingers out of your nose and out of your eyes, you should be able to quell a lot of this stuff.
You would think that, but it's very hard, to be honest, Sean Black, overall. Mm-hmm. How many times can you wash your hands within an hour? Well, if you're not near to a bathroom or not near to a hand sanitizer. And in that case, that's why a lot of people work at home right now. A lot of cities like San Francisco have a 24-hour lockdown right now. Basically,
oh, yeah.
Nobody move. Nobody can go anywhere. And I don't think New York can afford that yet completely. A lot of
yes.
things have shut down. A lot of money is being lost in New York City. But it's come to a point like when me and my family went shopping the other day. We went shopping for our normal stuff. Every week we go shopping, I cry like a little baby with all the money I spent. You know, it's a given. But we spent 3 hours online to get normal stuff. And we're like, people were buying stuff like the world is coming to end tomorrow. Like, how much pound of hamburger meat do we need for a chicken for a party of two? You know,
yes.
How much toilet paper do you need? I'm like, people were fighting so much because, you know, there's line coming. People were fighting over Lysol cans. Like
yes.
that, it will help you, but it won't save you overall.
But one of the things that I also have to worry about now is that the government is going in and trying to make sure, and especially we heard this with the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, basically telling retailers that price gouging will not be tolerated. I saw a news story yesterday of a spot in, I believe it was in Harlem, was a corner, like a bodega corner store, convenience store, where they were selling a can of Lysol, which would normally go $6, $4, $5. They were selling for $20 for one can. And what makes it worse is that a lot of the retailers that are selling that are, you know, the distributors that sell it to the stores, a lot of the distributors are gouging the prices to the stores. So they're getting ripping off everyone else.
And because you know what? Because if you're the distributor, you sell it to me for $10, I gotta make money from it somehow, right? $15. So you get robbed twice because today I bought a can of Lysol that's normally $5, $6, like you said. I bought it for $10. I asked my boss, do you still want me to get it? She's like, yes. What choice do we have right now? And that's the problem. When you have the mindset of what choice do I have right now, you know you're getting ripped off, but you need the product.
Well,
you
the
know,
best time to make money apparently is during
right
an epidemic or during war. And that's usually what happens.
Before I go to Kato, think about that statement you just said. The time to make money. If this is not, if this is a crisis right now, I don't want to say a major epidemic yet. You know, I'm like, you know, the casualty is still low. But imagine when the world is really come to end, how people are going to react overall. If people act like this right now, imagine if it was a real virus that's killing people off left and right with no vaccine in sight. So don't not be surprised in 2 years. They're going to throw another virus at us. But you know what? If people are that afraid, if panic is fear upon us, and we're making trillions of dollars of it, why not do it again and again and
well,
again?
Just think about this. Public schools throughout the country are being closed left and right. We just talked about in New York State, but we also know in Connecticut as well as New Jersey. Seattle's been closing schools for a few days now. So we also know that the coronavirus has confirmed cases in every single state for the exception of West Virginia. So everywhere in this country has at least one confirmed case. We've got well over 4,400 cases.
West Virginia then?
Yes. And as we're going forward, we know that it's only going to get worse before it gets better because it is a contagion. Contagions move in that sense where they float back and forth and they move around, and this is the kind of thing we're talking about. And when you hear the president talk about, well, everything was under control, remember, just last week what we talked about before, this is a hoax by the Democrats. It's not that bad. It's not that serious. When the weather gets better, then the virus will disappear and die. All of those kinds of things leads to a lot of the panic that's going on now. And as I said, the uncertainty of the stock market, the way it is now, happens because of the lack of confidence. Even though the Fed cut the insurance, the interest rate to almost 0%, and literally after the president went and started his press conference, the stocks completely tanked again.
Well, that's
they started to make a comeback early on, and then they tanked again.
Well, that's all your fault overall. But go ahead, Kate. What you like to add on? It's always your fault. Come on, Sean. Get it together. Well, go ahead, Kate.
Hey, good evening, everyone. How can I start?
Well, hold on. Take a deep breath. It looks like you have a lot to say. Take a deep breath. I am
getting myself together. Number one, I could poor leadership on behalf of Donald Trump. Why? As a leader, your job as president is to lead. And so far, he has shown a huge lack of responsibility in leading. It's like you could see by his body language that he really doesn't care. And, you know, even in his speech, spells aggression, and that's not the way you're supposed to be talking to an already panicked nation. There is a panic out there. I mean, because of this disease, it's a serious disease. It's very serious out there because even yesterday, as I was talking to Sean yesterday on the phone about this, going to the market and you see shelves, empty shelves of canned goods, where the canned goods once were, it's all empty. You can't even get toilet paper inside the market. It wasn't until later on that I was able to grab, rolls of toilet paper. I'm like, man, people are really scared. People are really scared.
Well, K-Dog, because I'm a good friend. If you need a roll of toilet paper, I got you for $20 because I'm a good friend. Anytime you need toilet paper, I got you.
I got $20. Trust me, I got enough. Trust me, I got enough toilet paper. And, of course, with the way that people are panicking, it's like I have to give kudos. Respect is due. When it comes to leadership, the Brooklyn Borough President, Eric Adams, gave a speech via YouTube where he was assuring the people of what to do to prevent illness. He told them about the hygiene, washing your hands, certain things that you're eating for your immune system. You know, he was showing them different vegetables, different fruits for your immune system to prevent yourself from getting a cold or prevent yourself from getting sick. But, however, he's telling people to please be careful, wash your hands. Meanwhile, you have this guy in office, he's not doing that. He's not even assuring the people, hey, listen, look, we're going to get through this. But instead, 2018, you made massive cuts. There was a lot of cuts to certain programs that could have helped prevent this disaster. But you had all these cuts and all, especially with the CDC. I mean, listen, the coronavirus is a serious and infectious disease. And, the numbers day by day, and it's scary, the numbers day by day seems to be going up. And, of course, it's taking its toll financially on the stock market. And for those of us who loves to go out at nighttime, like let's just say you're going to the theater or you're going to a restaurant, you're going to a bar, guess what, Hot Rod? All the bars are closing at 8 o'clock tomorrow. And
closing, but you can order takeout, they say.
Yeah, you can. But there's one bar even in my area, they even said that they had to temporarily lay off their staff.
Yes. A lot of people have been getting a layoff lately because there's no business going on. With no business.
Yeah, no business.
What can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we might also be heading towards another recession because of it. Because as I spoke to you before, there is almost no way for any of these businesses to recover to recoup that lost amount of money. And if you think about how it happened in a quick amount of time. Very quick. And it's constantly changing on a regular basis. We, like I said before, we already know about the schools. Now we have lots of businesses. We have the suggestion that the CDC is saying you shouldn't be around gatherings of 50 people or more. The president said you shouldn't be around in groups of 10 or more. So there's that disconnect. And as I also said before, even when we talked about de Blasio, even before his press conference, when we talk about leadership telling the people one thing and doing something completely different, before he went to his press conference, he was at the YMCA exercising. The same thing that he told you about, no, don't go to the gym, don't go to this place where all of these people gathering. So you can't go and say to the people something and do the complete opposite.
Well, hold on, guys. I have Lady T in the house. Lady T, something you'd like to add on?
Hey, what's up, Lady T?
I'm just wondering why people just don't take precautions and must stop trying to predict the future. So all of this to me should have been taken care of since November when we first found out about X, Y, and Z. Certain things should have been put into place. But you have one administration saying this, the governor saying that, the mayor's office saying this. Everybody needs to come together. I'm talking about within the whole U.S. right now and figure out an action plan.
So you're not pleased with the government actions right now?
You said what?
Nobody can do that. That's the sad part about it.
What was your question, Hot Rod?
So you're not happy with the government actions right now overall?
Yeah, this should have been the actions a couple weeks ago.
When
we first started seeing the numbers rising, it's like, okay.
Well, like I told Sean Black earlier on the program that, like, you know what, Lady T was right. A few weeks ago, we should have taken it seriously. Now it seemed like taking it seriously. It seemed like a little bit too late, but there's still a chance. But fortunately, the risk is greater now. Like, right now, we all could have the coronavirus and not even know it. Because it seems like there's some mild symptoms. Some guys are walking around with no symptoms of it. And
I think the scariest part is not having access to your own tests the same way you would have access to pregnancy tests. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like something like that. I know they're working on it, but not working on it yet.
They're working on it, but, you know, that relates to another mayhem because once they open up the parking lots, everybody will try to drive down there at the same time, try and get tested. There will be no control.
You can't do it. You have to have certain symptoms. They said before they screen you first before able to take the test. So.
Lady T, let me give you a number that is absolutely sobering. You know that there's 40 million people that live in California. They only have 4,000 tests available. Think about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not enough tests. They only have 4,000 tests available at the time, and this is from yesterday.
So who gets tests? The elderly. You know the people with conditions?
The people that are the most susceptible are, like you said, the elderly, people with underlying conditions like diabetes, heart problems, kidney issues, blood disorders, that kind of thing. And
people
that
are
mostly
infected by that area. Yeah.
What about does the government get tested? Do the prisons get tested? I mean, who gets tested?
He got tested. Anybody that's been in contact with anybody who may have gotten coronavirus. So.
True, but once again, you don't know until it's too late, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like I said, all four of us could be carrying it right now. We don't know. We could be just carriers. We're spreading around until God knows whatever happens. Oh, yeah. They gave me the coronavirus like a month ago. I didn't know. And we tried to infect 100 other people.
Because remember,
don't say I gave you nothing. Have nobody coming looking for me, please. So.
It could incubate within you for a good 10 days, between 5 and 10 days before you even have any symptoms or even know that you have it. So this is the importance of being tested. If you're in, if you know you've been in a, in an area that has a high instance rate of people maybe being positive or having cases in certain areas, you have to also know your own body. If you know how you're starting to feel, chances are if you have a, if you, it's dry cough from whatever, from the symptoms that it is. It's dry cough.
That was so disgusting.
Yeah. Dry cough, fever, and body aches. If you have a runny nose, it's a good possibility that it's not coronavirus and you just may have a cough or the flu. But the only real way to really know that is if you go to the doctor and get checked out and find out if they give you a test, if you can actually get a test. And the problem with that is the only time, the way that they have the criteria is that you have to either have been in contact with somebody who positively tested for it to get a test, or if you fall in that that category of elderly underlying conditions, which is even more frustrating.
So, Sean Black, do you have any plans tomorrow night? You want to get together and just meet up for a little bit and just have a nice little talk, just you and I, cough to cough?
That's the reason why we have cell phones, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But one more note I'd like to add, and this is on a personal note. Lacey was the first one to tell me about this news yesterday. Lacey, we'd have to talk about this. I just want to vent out a little bit.
Big Bird.
The schools. Yes. I know, Sean, for over 2 weeks he was in complaining about our mayor, New York City Mayor, Big Bird, Mike Bloomberg. I mean, I'm Mike Bloomberg. Bill de Blasio. You know, had that shut down in city schools. And I was defending Bill for a little bit. I'm like, you know what? I think they have a plan. They have a plan. They're going to make the announcement at the right time. And I know we're talking about this Thursday. And boom, Sunday, 5 o'clock, news broke out. Close the school tomorrow. I'm like, what? I'll call Sean right after. And Sean knew I would use some colorful language. I'm not going to repeat now on the air about the decision that he made. We knew that he would shut down the schools in New York City. New York City had one of the largest school systems in this country.
It's actually the largest in the country, actually.
Yeah, in the country. And we knew, like I said, we knew that he would shut down the school. It was just a matter of when. I would think they were shutting down, like, let's say Friday. Maybe they would make the announcement Friday. So us parents, we have over the weekend to figure that out. And you think they will have a plan in attack. Well, he shut down the school, like I say, Sunday, with a semi-plan. So now, like, do kids continue school in the summertime, or kids go do online schooling? It's so confusing. And this is what we're talking about with our government. They really cannot get their act together. Sean say one thing, Lacey say another thing, Cato say another thing, like, why our government cannot be on the same page for anything right now, especially in a time of crisis?
Because there's different sectors of the office that's in charge of certain things, like, you know, the United Federations of Teachers were the one that they said was putting the pressure on them to close the school.
Yes.
So
and,
you have different sectors to answer to.
Well, that's the problem. It's not like he wanted to do it. He felt pressure. So once again, it's down to politics. Whether it was Governor Cuomo that told him, like, listen, shut it down, or you know what, he's afraid of the teachers walking out on him, to make a point. He felt pressured. He did not do it on his quote-unquote goodwill, or what's better for the kids, and what's better for the teachers, for the people. Because this is his last term, he probably doesn't care right now. Like I told Sean, he probably is saying to himself, why this thing is happening now? Why couldn't I happen to the next mayor? So, you know, I could be let go in November. But it is craziness overall.
Is it not a good idea for the school to be closed, though, right now?
You know what? If you're going to do something huge, I'm just saying, you're going to do something huge, you need to have a good plan. Because you know we're going to have a lot of questions. Parents are going to have a lot of questions. If you're not prepared for it, don't make the decision.
Is it really huge, being that spring break is coming up and things like that? I would think I'm concerned, more concerned to me about the plan after spring break. What if this gets better during this time, let's say, We never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
They
should have an action plan. They should definitely have an action plan.
And knowing our government, they probably have a tentative action plan, but not a definite action plan. That's what I think, because they cannot get their act together. Because they say it's a possible, you know, they might cancel the rest of the school year, because like you said, it might get better, it might not get better. So if it does not get better, what does that mean for the kids? Do they repeat the same grade again?
Even more so, the plan of what the parents that have jobs that they can't take time off of. Like, you have children. Lady T, you got a child. If that's one of the things that probably is going through your minds as this is going forward, as, well, what's the next step? If this is for any long length of time, because not everybody has the same type of support system where they say, well, I have my mother that can help, you know, let's say pick up my child for a couple of days or whatever the case. Not everybody is in that situation. What should have been done is, if this plan was in place and gave the people that have children in school the time to plan ahead, let's say instead of springing this on everybody the day before school would have started for the week, they say, tell everybody Wednesday. Wednesday, today's Wednesday. Monday, we're going to do such and such and such. And then say we're going to have the schools open up for, like what they're doing now, the plan is to have the schools open for breakfast and lunch, because there are a lot of children that are actually homeless. As a matter of fact, out of all of the 39 million children across the country that are in public schools, there's a good chunk of them that are actually homeless. So you got to think about how they're going to get
their meals.
That's probably the good thing, that they'll still feed the kids. I mean, the food is garbage, though. Don't get me wrong, but you know what? Free is free. And that will help
kids
out.
You got to feed the children.
But now, this is mind-boggling. And like you said earlier, Sean, this changes everything. This coronavirus is something that we've never seen before. And like I told Sean, in 2020, this is going to be the top 10 stories. And this is only the third month of the year, and that's the crazy part.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Kobe, we went to Pop Smoke, and every other news, and this is only March. So who knows what April, May, June, July, and the rest have in store for this year.
We've got nine more months. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, quickly, we have a Target racism commercial story Sean want to address.
Yes, this was something that got bumped because of all of the coronavirus stuff that was going on. There was about 2 weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was a controversy that went on with the Honey Pot Company, which is a company that is owned by a black woman entrepreneur by the name of Beatrice Dixon, who makes plant-based products, feminine products for girls and women. It has been around since 2017 and was able to finally get a Target ad on television and online. So the Target ad was basically for, and this is the quote that she said in the commercial, the reason why it's so important for the Honey Pot to do well is so that the next black girl that comes up with a great idea, she can have a better opportunity. Now, makes sense, right? All of us have no problem with that ad, the thinking behind that ad, and it was a good ad looking at it. What ended up happening was, for whatever reason, white outrage. Everybody lost their minds. 18,000 reviews between the time that the ad went live and our show that we did Monday were all negative or one-rated reviews, with everybody basically saying, I can't believe that somebody would say this. I was supporting the product until I heard what she said. She doesn't want white girls or white women to use her product, et cetera, et cetera. That's basically how a lot of the reviews went. So the question I'll throw to all of you guys in this particular topic is there a fair argument for white America to have had its feelings hurt because of the way that this particular ad went, or is this just the fear of non-inclusion and missing the point of the ad altogether?
Lady T?
I think it's hurt by non-inclusion. This is not the first ad or first something that was empowering to us that has been, you know, that has gotten backlash because they felt not included, or it was, you know, just towards us and doesn't include them. Same thing what I just said. It's petty and it's draining because there's so many things in this world that is non-inclusive to Black Americans or Black people, period. So I'm not understanding what the problem is. Whenever we find something to empower and motivate and move forward, it's always that step back. So
this reminds me of the Cheerios commercial back then between, I believe, a white father, Black mother, with a mixed child. And everybody went crazy. How can you have a mixed child like that? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, like, really, guys? The whole point of the commercial is to eat a crappy cereal. Have nothing to do with the family, but people just focus on that. And go ahead, K-Dog.
But it's always been that way. It's like whenever something involves Black, it's like, oh, my goodness, what is this? Like, what is the problem? We've been put out for a lot of things in every commercial. That Cheerios commercial, I remember it very well. It's crazy.
John, it's also one of the things that we've always hear about is that it seems that you are only allowed to be outraged at the certain things that certain groups of people allow Black people to be outraged about. If there's no inclusion as far as everybody holding hands and singing Kumbaya about a certain thing, then you have these kinds of issues. As we've gone over before in various different topics before, we also know that a lot of people feel a certain way when African Americans or Hispanic Americans or anybody of any other ethnicity comes together for a particular deal, particular product. And we also know African American women are a growing sector of the United States as far as buying power goes. The same way that I've brought up before, we talked about how African Americans have over $1 trillion of disposable spending income that they can use in this country. So a lot of people don't realize that money is coming from the African-American community. And a lot of girls, a lot of women don't get to have that same kind of power, not only spending power, but as CEOs of companies, presidents of companies, running businesses, that is starting to grow. It's growing slower than it should be, but it is finally starting to grow, and all this was just bringing light to the reason why this company is important, and people decided to get their feelings hurt and take it out on the actual brand, which is ridiculous.
Well, talking about somebody else that's always like to hurt my feelings, ladies and gentlemen, Bill the Fist, Matt Fisher, what do you like to say?
Bill.
Kumbaya, my love.
Kumbaya. Oh, brother.
Well, Sean started it.
Somebody else to blame me for something, right?
I think all of America's just gone nuts.
Yes.
In what way? Like, in what way do you think America has gone nuts?
In every way. I mean, this whole thing with the coronavirus. I would have called in earlier, but I got off of work late. But this whole thing with the coronavirus, you can't get nothing anywhere. The Walmart I work in, there's no bread, no toilet paper. I mean, I don't know what the hell people are getting crazy over toilet paper for. I mean, if the virus sees you with toilet paper, it ain't going to give a crap. It's still going to get you.
Literally. That's why they need the toilet paper, apparently.
Well, you need a clean ass. You know, when you go to the doctor, it gets checked out, right? That's the whole point of the toilet paper, right?
No, because they're going to be stuck inside their home. They're going to quarantine themselves, and they need toilet paper just in case you got to take a crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
the amount of toilet paper people are buying.
Okay.
If you need that much toilet paper, then there's a good possibility you're probably half dead already. Nobody is crapping that much.
Okay,
exactly.
All right, to the panel. Start with Lady T first. You blame the media overall for this panicking that's happening in this crazy society today, or has always been like this? The media has not a major part of this.
I blame the media for just not giving it straight what it is. You're getting mixed messages all over, and that's what has people in their emotions, thinking with their emotions instead of their brains, going out there and buying everything on the shelves and so forth. So people are thinking with emotions. They're not thinking with their brains.
And the sad part is, the people that need this stuff are not going to be able to get it, because I don't know what happened to common sense. I really don't know. When did common sense go out the window?
It went out the window a long time ago. But I think Lady T hit it right there. Is emotions, panic, emotions. People just like we said all the time. People are fighting each other. Just, even yesterday, I called Sean again. Like I said, I called him like a little girl. I saw a black lady and a Chinese lady fighting inside a store. Because I guess someone pushed the other person to get something, and they're throwing bags of chips at each other. And it's
man.
Like, really? This is what we come down to? Throwing bags of chips? I'm like, this is the pandemonium that we're getting through? This is really Armageddon? And like I told Sean earlier in the program. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Two people in my Walmart last Thursday were arrested for fighting over toilet paper.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's really crazy out there. And, you know.
And here's the thing. There has not been a reported case here in Southwest Virginia.
Not yet. Wait for it.
I mean, not
wait
yet. We've been lucky so far, although I'm thinking the virus is smart not to come to this part of Virginia because it knows that the people are either screwed up in the head or on something already. The virus is smart. It's staying away.
Okay. Well, now Brother B's on the line now. Brother B, go right
ahead.
What's
up? Greetings.
Hey,
what's up? Greetings.
What's
up?
Brother B, before you start, something I have to say as a disclaimer. I have dealt with Sean Black, Lady T, Phil, and Kato for over 20 years. If I could deal with them, you know I'm immune to the coronavirus. Because trust me, those guys are a bigger threat to me than the coronavirus. 20 years dealing with these guys? It's not easy. But go ahead.
The nerve of you.
What's yours?
I'm sure. Well, all I'm going to say is this, man. It's sad that we have to really see the nature of humans and how they're moving. And this is, and in the grand scheme of things, this is something light. Just imagine it's something heavy hit. Like, you might as well just stay home and lock your doors. I was talking with someone earlier, and there's a gun store that I know of out in Long Island. And they said there was a line around the corner. Like, people are preparing for the worst. Like, people are more prepared to do violence than actually take care of themselves and take care of one another, which is the most scariest thing of all. Like, you're so ready to claim what you, I got to defend my home, or I got to defend this. The whole thing is this, it's when did it become just about you? And it needs to be about everybody. Like, I can understand, you know, taking care of yours, but if we don't take care of each other, it kind of falls into the same category. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are more focused on one thing when no one, who's really focused on their health? Like, you can hand sanitize all you want, but if you're not keeping yourself healthy, then you're doomed. You know what I'm saying? People are so focused on like you never cleaned in your life. Like, you never washed your ass or wiped your ass. Like, if you're fighting over toilet paper, then you're the people in the movie that the aliens should come get first. You're the people that the aliens should come get first. Because it doesn't make sense. Because how much toilet paper are you gonna have and then turn around? Nothing. The CDC didn't say anything about that, but that just goes to show you and the powers that be that sit back and watch this and like, you know what? This is why we need to control you. Yeah, this is why we need to control you. This is why we need to not say martial law, but this is why we have to stop you from doing certain things, because you do not know how to act. and thank you for giving us the power to control you through fear.
And,
because, like
going,
I said,
and,
it doesn't make sense. I know somebody who works in Costco. She said they're fighting over rice, chicken, and toilet paper.
Yeah,
rice,
I know,
chicken,
very
toilet paper.
So sad.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
man.
Next they're going to be fighting over lotion because your hands going to be so dry from all the hand sanitizer. So they're going to be fighting over
lotion. I told Sean I need lotion now because I've been washing my hands so much. You know, as black people,
yeah,
we crack a lot. But to your point, Brother B, all these lies and all this energy that I'm seeing, I pray to God I see the same energy, the same fighting in November when it's time to vote.
Yeah.
Or whatever president they want to vote for. That's
I'm sorry.
To see.
I think that's going to be canceled. I think we already know who the winner probably is. Because with this ignorance, somebody, he's going to do something or say something. People are going to go, oh, he saved the day. And the next thing you know,
brainwashing.
Another 4 years. That's what it is. That's
well,
that,
it hasn't
that's
stopped
it
social
is.
Media from being absolutely ignorant. As
of course
I saw that Hot Rod sent me from Instagram. I don't even remember the person's name, but this is a female who decided to create her own challenges. All these other people continue to do. She decided to say, look, I am not going to be defeated by the coronavirus, blah, blah, blah. She decided to take a picture of herself licking her toilet seat. And it's challenging people to do the same kind of nonsense.
On an airplane.
She's going to catch more than the coronavirus. she's going to catch more than the coronavirus. And you know,
there are a lot of attention grabbing people that are looking for some sort of way to get through, oh, I'm invincible, et cetera, et cetera. And in all reality, this is the same kind of mentality that we've been hearing from the president, not necessarily licking toilet seats. But the whole idea of not taking it seriously and giving it the grave concern that it needs. People are dying all over the planet. That should tell
you
something.
Let me ask something, Sean Platt. See, the thing with this is that it's just highly contagious. And just the panic and fear alone, you know what I'm saying? You know, with panic and fear and worry, you know, it helps break down the body. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of subject yourself to kind of whatever happens. But look at it like this. They're not doing some serious public testing, but just imagine all the hundreds of thousands of people that ride out the train system, because we have, like, the biggest mass transit system in the world. Am I wrong or am I right?
You are correct.
Yeah, you're right.
So just imagine all the people that before the virus kicked underway, hardcore, just imagine all the people. Just imagine when they start doing some real testing. Everybody can have it. Anybody can have it. So, like I said, see how they're acting now compared to what would happen if they started doing public testing and people left and right, I got it. It's going to be mass hysteria.
Brother B, before I go, like I told the guys earlier, the symptoms so mild right now, we probably have it right now that we don't know. And we may never know for a long time until we go testing ourselves, because we're not showing the symptoms right now. I'm like,
don't forget there were some people who had it also, and they weren't showing symptoms, but they got over it no different than they would have the flu.
Exactly.
So it's not to forget that.
So taking care of themselves. Lady T, real quick, are you one of those people you start feeling something coming on? Next thing you know, you're going to take some Robitussin, some chicken soup. You're going to lay down. You're going to kind of like pre-medicate, right? I mean, pre-medicate.
I actually go
to
some Thai Bowl and wash that out.
Okay.
A Thai Bowl.
I really do.
I go drink some vodka and orange juice. I got some vodka and some vitamin C. I'm good. You know? What?
Right. What works? What works? But I just pray, man. I just pray for everybody, man. I just pray people really just don't start hurting each other. I really pray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Brother B, doing your show tomorrow night?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
To be announced.
Okay. Well, tomorrow night, right here, Block Talk Radio, 8:30. Brother B, the menu. Guys. Thanks so much. Have a good night, and be safe, and God bless you.
You know what? We might talk about safe sex during the coronavirus.
My life has to fight to the
end. They celebrate. I'm good.
You know what? I don't sit in my lotion in the bathroom. That's all. I'm good. Oh, good night, guys.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, y'all.
Peace.